This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Sponsored by Saligny Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
We had to do a lot of little things today, and I feel like our guys were day game 12-15, show up like on point in a lot of different areas. That's a good team across the way. They're managed well, and they play the game the right way. So you have to be on point in a lot of areas in order to take a series from them. I felt like we did that.
Manager Oliver Marmol and the St. Louis Cardinals taking 2 of 3 from Cleveland in a series that wrapped up yesterday. They'll have an off day today. Then tomorrow they are back at it. They've got the Astros on the road in Houston. It is the Gas House Gang, and we are glad you are with us today. Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji on the show with you until 1 o'clock every weekday from 12 until 1. We bring you the Gas House Gang, and we're going to talk to Xavier Scruggs, who is a baseball analyst, former Cardinal, and doing some work for MLB Network. He will join us at 12:30. And you heard the manager there say, Bernie, that they've got to do a lot of the little things right, and that's, you know, for a team like the Cardinals that isn't a powerhouse in a particular area, they're not right now a great pitching team. They are not a great offensive team as a whole. They have to do little things right to win, and they are 10-8 on the season because they're doing that, because they are doing those things. They win all the close ball games. They have won in extra innings, and so far, 3 weeks into the season, and it has been 3 weeks as of today, the results are there.
I like everything about this. The one thing to state the obvious, needless to say, with some of their starting pitching problems, the Cardinals have found themselves way behind early in games, more often than they'd want to be, of course. And so when you do that, you get in those situations, you're not going to be able to execute this strategy that they put into place for this year, which is to push it on the base paths, move up an extra base when a teammate gets a hit or even just gets a ground ball or a fly ball, whatever it is. Just move up as much as you can. Push it. Take chances. And that works when you have close games and when you can grind out if you can grind out a couple of runs. And yesterday's a great example. You'll have a really good chance to win those close games. And a lot of that is just being really well aware of their situation, the situation that each hitter sees when he steps in this batter's box. Some situations require a different result than others. You know, you don't need to swing to hit a ball 450 feet, especially if you're not good at that, but especially if all you need is to get the runner in from third on a sac fly. Just do the little thing, the simple thing that'll get the run home. So their base running has been excellent. They're stealing bases more, but their base running in terms of scoring from first on a double, from second on a single, from going first to third, all of their averages on that are well above the league average. So they're outperforming the league average in terms of their advancement on the bases, which you have to do well if you're going to win close games and grind out runs. So the other thing I like watching this, and let's face it. I mean, this is kind of a page out of some past playbooks, not to the extent like the Whitey Herzog era, because this team's not going to have people stealing 100 bases, but still the Cardinals have pretty good speed and the Cardinals have a very aggressive mindset, and the Cardinals are, barring a page from the mentality of some of those teams that wanted to put pressure on the defense, that wanted to annoy teams, rattle teams, just constantly keep going and coming at them, going. So I love that. But the other thing I love, Chris, I can't tell you since 1985 when I first got here, and I can't tell you how many times I heard through the years, a manager of the Cardinals, other than Whitey Herzog, or even Tony, wouldn't do it. Why are you promising something? Ollie Marmol talked about it all last offseason. He talked about
then the Cardinals have, excuse me, not 33. They have 33 home runs. That is 13 more than what the Cardinals have at the moment. So that's how they have to live. And I know that a lot of times we get to the end of the year and you look at those teams that have those great one-run records. It's not always sustainable. Somebody's got to be the best at it in a given season. I don't think that you can do it and rely on it all year. That can't be the only way you win games, and you can't really do it year to year. But for a season like this, for a team that is probably not going to hit for much power, why not? Why not be aggressive? Why not find out what you can do? Why not push it as much as you can so that you can make decisions moving forward?
And this style of baseball is applicable and relevant and meaningful as long as you find yourself in a lot of close games. And that's really what it comes down to. And this manager, you know, has got a tremendous record in one-run games. And it's overall, since he's been the manager, they're like 12 games better than they should have been in the standings. If you go back to 2024, you start from there. Ollie Marmol's got a .585 winning percentage in one-run games. I mean, that is an exceptional record. And Ollie Marmol's team's also managed to do very well in terms of overcoming a pretty negative run differential, which has been common around here. So they do make the style work for them, but it's limited. It's got to be limited because there's a lot of games where you're not going to be able to play like for one run at a time. It would be a waste of your time. But I love the fact that the players are bought into this and they love running the bases and pushing. But I also love the way that they have preached to each other, but the manager and coaches preaching to them about situational hitting and how important it was. Look at it yesterday. You know, they had a sacrifice fly. They had a sacrifice bunt. They had a bunt single. They move runners over like four or five times to help set up runs. You know, it was just a classic. They stole four bases. It was classic situational baseball. And I thought it was enthralling to watch. I love that because there's always action. There's always something going on. And that's the other thing. They lead the majors this year, combined sacrifice fly and sacrifice bunts. And they've more than doubled their rate of that from last year. So again, this is an actual strategy. It's not a random thing. So I'm only bringing that stuff up just so everybody can kind of keep an eye on this going forward and understand. Ollie said this was going to be the plan. It was going to be the style. And as it turned out, it very much is the plan and is the style. And they're doing well with it when they can.
Cardinals are 10-8 on the season. Every team in the division right now is at least at .500. The Cubs are in last place. They are 9-9. Everybody else is got a winning record. Brewers are second to last in the division. Then it's the Cardinals, Reds, Pirates working our way up. Pittsburgh has the lead in the division. And just looking at where the Cardinals are, looking at the rest of the teams in the division, I don't suspect Pittsburgh is going to win the Central this year. I think they're not the doormat they used to be. Those days, I believe, are over. I don't know how serious of a playoff contender they are. I mean, maybe they put together something here. But this division, to me, unless the Cubs figure out their issues, and they got some injuries, they got a real serious injury problem in the starting rotation, so that could hold them back in a big way. But unless they find a way to figure it out, I'd like to see how you feel about this. I could see this division by the end of the year still being fairly bunched up more than most divisions are in September.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Cincinnati's got a good club, but, you know, until this series they're in now with the Giants, they've been struggling to score runs. The Cubs have a lot of problems. It's not just the starting pitching. I was reading a story this morning. They are losing relievers left and right.
Yeah,
their
bullpen
is chopped up right now. Since Cincinnati doesn't have Hunter Green, you know, Milwaukee's really good, but they've been really inconsistent as of late. I probably trust the Pirates a little more than you do, but I still don't trust them in terms of living up to the hype. So if the Cardinals can just keep finding a way to hang in there, it could be fun. But you know, one thing I'm promising myself is I'm not going to look ahead like, oh, I just looked at FanGraphs and they have a 6% chance of making the playoffs. I'm not looking at that stuff in April. You know, I may not even be looking at that stuff in July. So,
yeah.
But if they just keep doing what they're doing, these survival instincts, grabbing a win where you can, stealing some wins along the way, it's just going to be interesting because nobody expected, well, a lot of people didn't expect them to be anywhere close to competitive in a way where you would say, hey, this is pretty good, you know. And that's the other thing that drives this team. It fuels them. That whole underdog thing, and they want to just shut people up. And we can laugh at that stuff, but a lot of times it's really effective inside a clubhouse or a locker room.
For a team, Bernie, that a lot of people, more than I would like to have seen, but there were enough people who projected this club to finish, you know, mid-60s in wins. Right. Maybe 70, 71, 72 wins in that range. If they can just be an interesting team to watch all year and beat that number, I'll consider it as a whole success. I mean, for me, it's really all about the individual players. I don't know that I care that much about team results. Once we get to September, I care about how's Walker look? How's Gorman look? Is he going to be part of the future, or yes or no? Can we move on from this? Can we maybe give him another crack at it? How's Weatherholt look? Does he look like he's going to continue to progress? You know, stuff like that. That to me is going to be the real important factors for the season. Once we get to the end of the year, I'm just not worried about the wins and losses so much, but it doesn't mean that I can't enjoy the wins when they happen this year, or at least be encouraged or enjoy a particular style of play. 'Cause that to me is what 2026 is about.
You know, Heim Bloom has told us all this a million times about basically any decisions they make, it's going to be based on the long-term thinking, not the short-term thinking. And that applies to their objectives for 2026. The Cardinals would never say this, and I don't blame them, but the number one objective, 100%, the most important objective is what you said, is finding out more and more and more and discovering more and more and more and getting to a place where they really can make some honest, tough decisions on some players going forward. That's their number one objective for 2026. But I do think they want to win as much as they can, even though winning's not the top priority. And winning, by the way, has never been the top priority for a rebuilding team. So the Cardinals aren't doing anything wrong. But I do think they take pride in at least representing the franchise. And if they have a chance to win more than everyone thought, I mean, they're not going to make any stupid trades to help that, where they're going to trade a prospect for some short-term reliever or whatever. But I'm actually interested in the team because I'm interested in seeing just how far they can push this. Like, I know exactly what their objective is, but I also like being entertained by stuff that intrigues me. And it's like, okay, I thought the other night when they were about to lose again to the Guardians, it would have been four losses in a row. And I'm sitting at home and I'm thinking, well, I guess it's too much to expect them to keep doing this. It's probably going to go on some ugly streak now, blah, blah, blah. And then they snapped out of it because they do that. They steal games and they find a way to keep coming at you. So, no, I really am interested in the team because I want to see where they can take this. I have no visions of grandeur, delusions of grandeur. I have none. But I still want to see where they can take this.
Xavier Scruggs broke down Jordan Walker's swing about a month ago, maybe a month plus, 5 weeks. And we'd like to get his thoughts again, see what he thinks now that the season has been going on for 3 weeks, and what he thinks of Walker and more with the Cardinals. That's coming up at 12:30. Got Bernie Miklas and Chris Ranji now. And Bernie, as we hit the break, tell everybody about our friends at Saliga. Now, the Gas House Gang with Bernie Miklas and Chris Ranji. Tomorrow at 12 o'clock, we expect to have a conversation with Cardinals starter Andre Pallante. He will join the show. Meanwhile, Bernie, we just talked about what the Cardinals were doing in terms of the little things and getting those things right, at least to start the regular season. We haven't talked a whole lot about the starting pitching, which at this point of the year has not been especially great. And I think we all kind of figured the pitching staff would be better than what we've seen so far. I still think there's plenty of room for improvement here, whether it's starting or whether it's coming out of the bullpen. But how about in your opinion, what we've seen from Dustin May now in his last couple of starts? First ones were the first two pretty rough. Last two looks a lot more like it.
Well, he was very good the last two. You know, first of all, he went six innings, and that's been tough for Cardinals starting pitcher to turn in six innings. You know, it's usually five. So that extra inning puts less on a bullpen that's got some issues. But Dustin May, you know, in these last two starts, 12 innings, two earned runs, that speaks for itself. But his stuff was really, really good. The thing of it is, people like me were talking about this, and I think people thought I lost my mind, and that's okay because I have lost my mind, but not on this. But so listen, there's nothing wrong with Dustin May. Like, even though he was, you know, he had an ERA of 15 the first two starts, he was throwing 97. He was spinning the ball. There was like all kinds of great movement on his pitches, but he was just, the location was betraying him. Like, he almost, whether he had too much movement or what, but it was just too many pitches over the middle. And that's something you can fine tune. What you can't do is if you don't have good stuff, and there's no ways to, you know, get hitters out because you're just flat out terrible. Well, you got a big problem. But even though he had two terrible starts, it was pretty easily fixable. And I think that's what we've seen these last two starts. Listen, Michael McGreevy is he's like a 26-year-old guy that, you know, has got the mentality and like the experience and the gravitas of a guy like Jeff Suppan. You know, he's not going to strike you out, but he's a pitch maker, man. He's an absolute pitch maker because I like him. And Matthew Liberatore has taken a wrong turn, and I think this is a potentially serious problem. His strikeout rate has absolutely collapsed, and he's given up home runs. So I can't sit here and say, oh, he'll be all right, because unlike Dustin May, you can see some real signs of warning, like warning troubles. You know, Pallante is just going to grind it out the best that he can. Batted ball luck's a big deal with him. And Kyle Leahy is, I cut him a lot of slack because this is his first year as a starter. And my whole thing is it's going to take time. It's just going to build up innings. He's also going to have just build up a routine and kind of tweak it as he goes along. The rotation, I think, has been a little better lately. But listen, last in Major League Baseball in strikeout rate and last in whiff swing rate. Boy, that puts an enormous amount of pressure on the defense. It's no way to live. This is going to have to change in future years. And they do have some horses down below that will bring the horsepower in terms of velocity.
And the Liberatore thing, I'm glad you mentioned that because it is a little alarming. I know it's just been a handful of starts, but when they're making contact, when they're hitting fly balls, he is giving up more home runs per fly ball than he used to, and I'd say his rate's all close to doubling on that, which that's discouraging. He's walking more hitters than he used to. He's not getting the strikeouts he used to. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if this is just a feeling it out part of the season for him, and he'll ultimately figure it out, but he needs to, because I think the Cardinals would love to believe he's part of the rotation beyond this year. And, you know, we'll have that answer, I think, by the end of the season, but it's not an encouraging start.
No, it's really not. And I've had high hopes for him, but I'm not sure what's gone wrong. And he's really having a hard time finishing off hitters too. And that's a big problem. And that leads to longer innings, more pitches, shorter starts. I got the sense that the Cardinals were a little annoyed by some things in that start. You know, they're not going to talk about it publicly, but I don't know whether he went off. Maybe he went off with and decided he's going to have his own plan. I really don't know, but that's whatever it is. That's got to be corrected if it can be corrected, because they need him to be much better than he's been the last two starts.
It's Bernie and Ranji on the Gas House Gang. We'll talk to Xavier Scruggs when we come back, analyst for MLB Network. And Bernie, we will do that in a moment. And then we'll get into the Blues a little bit later on. They're going to finish up their season tonight. This is it. Last game of the season is coming up. Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji, the Gas House Gang with you now. Xavier Scruggs will join us when we come back.
The pitch, Walker lines it left field. That's down, an 11-game hitting streak as the ball is cut off on the track by Martinez. Into third goes Weatherholt, and Walker has a double. That's his third double of the year.
And it's an 11-game hit streak for Jordan Walker, who's off to a fantastic start here in 2026. It is the Gas House Gang, Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji. Time to go to the guest line, and we bring in baseball analyst and former Cardinal Xavier Scruggs, who is with us on KMOX. Good afternoon, Xavier. How are you?
Hey, doing well over here. How are you guys?
We're doing great, and it's great to have you on. We spoke to you about 4 weeks ago, and when we talked about when we had you on, we talked a lot about Jordan Walker, and you were talking about all the work he had been doing in the offseason and the changes he was making. Well, we're 3 weeks in. What do you think?
Oh, man, just outstanding, impressive. Like, all the expletives that you can use, you know, that I want to use on here, but I can't. It's just really cool to see, honestly. And I think, you know, as we talked a couple of weeks ago, we were talking a lot about not seeing those changes yet in spring training. And, you know, spring training being one of those times in which you're mentally still trying to figure things out. You're getting your routine back going. But I think noticing how Jordan has done a great job of getting himself in a position to drive the baseball as consistently as anybody in the game right now is probably the most impressive thing. Like, we understand he's not going to hit 80 home runs this year, right? Like, the home run pace is ridiculous right now. But at the same time, when it does come back down a little bit, I think what we've seen so far is his ability to stay inside the baseball, have a better bat path, and get the line drive, plus the ability to carry the baseball to the opposite field. It's just all of the factors that he was hoping to create during the offseason at Driveline, where guys reinvent their swings. It seems like he's been able to do that early on this season.
Well, we can't hear Bernie right now, so we'll see if we can. Bernie, I think we got you now. Go ahead.
Okay. Xavier, Bernie Miklas here. Once again, thanks for being with us. Also want to compliment you on your broadcast career, and hope that continues to keep going and going and going. Anyway.
Thanks, Bernie. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
No, man. It's great. Listen, I want to preface this by saying in no way, shape, or form do I doubt what I see with Jordan Walker. I don't. I mean, it's for real, because all the things he had to work on to get better, he did. So there's a strong foundation there that wasn't there before. But he'll go through some phases, and, you know, maybe it'll be 10 days. Maybe it'll be quiet for 2 weeks. Maybe he chases a little bit. He reverts a little bit. All hitters do that. In your opinion, sorry for the long question, in your opinion, how do you think he is mentally and emotionally in terms of being able to deal with that better now?
Yeah, I think that's an amazing question, Bernie, just because, you know, we expect him to go through some struggles at a certain point, right? And cool down at a certain point. Pitchers will start to deal with him a little differently as they've seen him over the first couple of weeks now. And I think the one thing we have to remember is he's still 23 years old. And as a young player, I think battling the ups and downs earlier on in his career of going up and going back down to AAA, learning a new position, a continual tinkering of hitting coaches, you know, trying to figure out the right perspective, approach, mentality at the plate. I think those things have obviously hindered with him and what he's been able to do production wise. And I think early indications have shown us, I think, like the ability to stick with this, even just for a couple of weeks, right? Like, we haven't even seen Jordan be able to stick with this approach for a few weeks at a time previously. So I think what we're seeing is already a change in the mental aspect of things and how he approaches the game. But also, I think that he's matured over the past couple of years. I think he's gone through the ups and downs of having to do those things of going down, trying to figure things out with this swing. I think you can even tell, I did a breakdown with the stances over the past few years. He's always been tinkering with the stance, and it seems like now he's found a middle ground for that. So in a long way of answering your question, I think he's well prepared for the ups and downs of this 162-game season. And I think just from a mental aspect, which if we all remember when we were 23 years old, we all had doubts in ourselves. We all had, you know, those times when we go through ups and downs. And I think him going through those has probably best prepared him for this season, in which he's had the best success he's ever seen over a couple-week stretch in the big leagues.
He's always hit the ball pretty hard. He has always had really good bat speed, but he's now barreling the ball more than he used to. And, you know, that hard hit rate is still really high. So, I mean, as you look at him, I think the question we all have is, and I know we've talked about it a little bit here, but I think a definitive answer would be great. Is this sustainable? I mean, can he keep doing this? Maybe not, you know, hit 60 home runs or anything like that, or hit 300, but is what he's doing, the changes he's made, tweaking the stance, all of that stuff, is it sustainable?
I truly think it is. And the reason why I say that is because he's not just dependent on a home run ball. Like we've all seen with his at bats, and I think well indicated in yesterday's game, continuing the 11 game hitting streak, is just now the ability to get to certain pitches and be able to barrel them up with a better swing path. And when I say swing path, I want the audience to understand that means the ability to attack the ball with my swing at a better angle, to where now I'm staying through the baseball longer through the strike zone, instead of what we saw of last couple years is a lot of coming around the baseball, almost a 50% ground ball rate. Like, he's been able to change his swing enough to now where typical balls where he would beat into the ground, he's finding a way to get underneath them and continue to drive them with real backspin. So I think even when the home runs come down a little bit, I still look at the 319 batting average and say, okay, this is someone that's still being able to hit line drives, hit the ball hard, stay inside the ball consistently. And then that still equals production with balls in the gap, runners on base, runner on first. And we've seen the athleticism of this Cardinal team now. Ball in the gap, runner on first, we're scoring. Like, that production is still going to be there for Jordan Walker, even without the home runs.
Xavier, I want to ask you about the other guy that's commanded a lot of attention so far, which is, of course, J.J. Weatherholt. What do you think of his first month in the big league so far? What do you see? What do you like? What would you like to see, if anything?
Oh, man, I'm sure it's similar to what you guys are seeing as well. Just the ability to stay away from chasing outside the strike zone. I believe he's in the 91st percentile in all Major League Baseball right now, and I think that was one of his calling cards coming out of West Virginia, and understanding coming up through the ranks is, okay, he's a guy that stays away from chasing, but I like the short, compact swing and the ability to not feel like he has to generate power, right? Just hitting a couple of home runs the other day, I think power is going to naturally come into play for him even as he continues to mature. He's still the same age as Jordan Walker, right? 23 years old. I think he's like a little ball of strength. When I went to spring training this year, I talked to him, and then I talked to Colton Wong, too, who was there at the same time, and it was almost like everybody kind of disregards how much strength he actually has because he's on the smaller stature side. And I think that's going to develop more. What I love is he knows how to take his walk, right, be able to get on base. I think what I'm also watching that I hadn't quite – really realized is his ability to get to so many balls at second base. I didn't realize the range was as good as it is. And I think that's one thing defensively the Cardinals can be able to really put their hat on is, okay, this is a defender at second base that can get to a lot of balls. And now you see both sides of the ball are going to be something to come into play. And he's still learning. Like, he's facing big leaguers that he's never faced before. And he's still doing a good job of being able to understand his strike zone. So I think those are the things that I'm excited about for JJ.
Is there something, a peripheral or something, that when you look at a rookie hitter that you are really paying attention to by the end of the season? So I'm talking about in terms of growth from April through September, and not necessarily numbers, not necessarily batting average, on base, or any of that stuff. Is there a thing that you're looking for that makes you feel like, okay, this dude's got something and he's making progress?
I definitely think, and I think the same is for Jordan. You know, you go to his Baseball Savant page where you can look at all the number peripherals and you see the red jumping off the page. But I think for even like JJ is, and you can visually see it, is he's in his legs and balanced every single lap back. And there's no like, I'm way out in front, my body's jumping out. You can see that visually numbers wise in a chase percentile at 91%. But also I think, you know, when somebody can stay away from the strikeout percentage, right? Yeah, I think he's in like the 77th percentile for strikeout rate. When you can stay away from chasing, but also striking out, because that also means swinging and missing in the strike zone, I think you have something there as far as an approach. And I think what is hard to be taught at the big league level is the approach of understanding plate discipline, understanding pitch recognition, understanding two-strike awareness. Those things JJ already has, and Jordan's getting much better at those.
Xavier, what the Cardinals are 10-8, and I think they are a surprise. You know, they've won four of their first six series, and we all know it's a very long season, but they're kind of in their throat, you know, swinging elbows in the NL Central, like, hey, we ain't going anywhere. What do you think about them? Has 18 games, small sample, but has it changed at least your perception of the Cardinals a little bit so far?
I think it has. I think, you know, you look at one of the reasons obviously being Jordan Walker, because I think you can look at being Chaim Bloom and being like, okay, maybe this window of quote unquote rebuilding or restructuring or whatever you want to call it can close a little bit, because now you have someone that looks like you can really build around them now. I think that, and that's what they've really been searching for over the past few years. Think about it. You know, it's been Nootbaar at one point. At one point, it was Dylan Carlson at one point. Like, thinking of the young guys and who you're going to build around, Tyler O'Neill at one point. So it seems like there's real opportunity with Jordan Walker, not to mention what we've seen from Alec Burleson. I think you have a real leadoff hitter with J.J. Weatherholt. Ivan Herrera obviously is a threat in the middle of that order. So I think it closes the gap, at least from an offensive standpoint. Now, pitching, that's going to be the main thing for Chaim Bloom. It's going to be, how much pitching can I bring into this thing? Because that's what the Cardinals have always been built off, Cardinal way of being able to get young pitching to really have impact. And I think that's going to be the focal point for them. But offensively, I think you look at, okay, we've got athleticism. We've got guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. We've got guys that have a good approach at the plate. Those can say, okay, that offensive window can close a little bit now.
Xavier, we love talking baseball with you. Thanks for jumping on with us again.
Hey, appreciate you guys. You guys have a good one.
That is former Cardinal and current analyst Xavier Scruggs with us on the Gas House Gang. And Bernie, as we hit the break, tell everybody about our friends at Stewart's American Mortgage. Bernie McLiss, Chris Ronji, a few more moments left to go on the Gas House Gang. Again, every weekday from 12 until 1 o'clock. And Bernie, we spent majority of the show talking about the Cardinals, off to a 10-8 start. They'll play tomorrow. We've got baseball in Houston tomorrow night, off day today. But tonight, it is the final Blues game of the season. They will play on the road in Utah, and then it is over. It's a 6:30 start tonight. So, Bernie, is this team is 36-33-12, missing out on the postseason, which is not what we thought would happen at the beginning of the year. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm most interested in who's not going to be back, because I think there's going to be changes. You know, Doug Armstrong, Alex Steen, they tried to were very aggressive at the trade deadline. You know, you had Colton Parayko veto a trade, which is his right, you know, and all that stuff. But I think they're ready for business, and I think they've got a couple decisions to make in particular. I think Jordan Binnington is one of those decisions, going into the last year of his contract, and whether it's a situation of what the market would be like, what teams want him, and probably a change will be good for him, because I think Joel Hofer has established himself enough to where the Blues would trust him as a number one goaltender. And I think that I really believe they're gonna ride with Robert Thomas. I think Robert Thomas finally got the message later on in the season. You know, he has played great. He played great down the stretch, and he took a leadership role on for the first time where it was very noticeable. I think they ought to see what they can get. If they can get enough for Jordan Kyrou, I think they need to move him. because the Kyrou soap opera is never going to end, and questions about his commitment and his effort and his seriousness. I'm just tired of it, and I can only imagine some of his teammates and his coaches are tired of it too. So I'm looking at those two guys to move. And other than that, man, how much are they going to lean on their young nucleus that's developing? We saw a lot of those guys this year. There are more on the way. Will the Blues be – they're going to be younger next season, but will they be a lot younger, and how ready will their prospects be? And the prospects that are already here, what kind of jump will they take next season? I think it'll be an interesting Blues team, but it'll be an interesting offseason.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Kyrou. I think the value for him, I'm not sure what it is, but their perspective might be it's more valuable just to move on. And I guess we'll see what happens. Bernie, good to talk sports with you as always. Yeah, we will do it again next week. I know you are on Redbird Rush Hour tomorrow at 5, correct?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah,
we'll be listening in. That's Bernie Miklas. I'm Chris Ranji, and the Gashouse Gang does come back tomorrow at 12. We'll have Mike Claiborne, Matt Pauly, and Andre Pallante. He will join the show at 12:30. So hope you will listen in then. If you missed anything on this show, you can get the podcasts on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, or wherever you get your podcasts. Dave Glover's show is coming up next on 104.1 FM KMOX.